and Christmas time often are some of the hardest times of the year because there is a little bit of a pressure to put a smile on your face and to be glad and to be joyful. And, you know, what if you're not glad? Thankful for that. But have you ever met anybody who's got a plastic smile? And everything is just great. It's just great when you know it's not. And you know, we are commanded in Scripture, all throughout Scripture, there are commands in Scripture to rejoice. Always think about that for a second. That we are commanded to rejoice always. And in everything give thanks. And so there is a disconnect. Oftentimes there's a disconnect between that command and your circumstances. Right? And so there is a dilemma that we as Christians face. There really is a dilemma that we face. That maybe it is that you feel like rejoicing and being glad and giving thanks. Maybe it is that you feel like that. And so then you can be sincere in following that command. But what if you really have a hard time being sincere in that command? You have a couple of options. One is you can put on the plastic smile. And you can just say everything's great. And you can act like everything's great. And all. You can really not convince very many people that everything's great. Because they'll know. But you can act like it is. And some people would say that you should. Some people would say that you should just put on the plastic smile and act like it's great. Even when it's not. The other side of that, and there are people who would tell you to do this as well. The other side is to say, listen, just be sincere. And if you're down today, then don't put the plastic smile on. Just be down. And if somebody asks you, how's it going? Tell them it stinks right now. It's terrible. And sure, I've got some blessings to be thankful for, but I don't really feel like giving thanks right now. Just be sincere. But then you got to deal with the command to rejoice always. You don't want to put on the plastic smile because that doesn't feel right. And if you're really sincere about it, then you're not following the command. And so there's a dilemma here that we face. What do you do? How in the world can God say to us, rejoice always and in everything give thanks? That's a problem. Psalm 100. A psalm that all of us associate with thanksgiving because it actually says the word thanksgiving in the psalm. And we need this. This is a psalm for thanksgiving. In fact, you know, if you look right underneath the Psalm 100, you see those little phrases there. Psalm 100 says, a psalm for thanksgiving. Psalm 101, it's a psalm of David. Do you know that those little phrases are actually in the original Hebrew? They are as inspired as the verses are. And so when Psalm 100 says that this is a psalm for thanksgiving, that's exactly what God intended this to be. Psalm 100 is God's plan for thanksgiving. And we need this. God, what do we do with thanksgiving? We don't feel like it's right to put on a plastic smile. I want to obey your command that says rejoice always. And so if I'm sincere about the circumstances that I'm facing, I don't feel like I'm being faithful to do what you've called me to do as a believer, as one who trusts you. So we need God to show us. God, what do you want us to do? And so he tells us. You know what the Lord says? This is what he says. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. That's what he tells us to do. Think about this for just a second. What you're looking at are three phrases. It's two verses, but it's actually three phrases. And you get three specific commands, and they're action commands. He says to shout and to serve and to come. And we know exactly what that means. We know what it means to shout. But then he doesn't just give us the command. He tells us exactly how he wants us to do it. He says to shout joyfully. Anybody in here watch football on Sunday afternoon? What happens in the stands when your team scores? Woo! Everybody shouts. Shout joyfully, because we do it a lot when there are exactly. That's okay, but we know what it looks like to shout joyfully. And so Scripture says, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, shout joyfully. And then he says to come, he says to serve. But we think, okay, I know God, I know that you want me to serve you. Yes, you want me to serve you. But he says it's not enough just to serve. God says to serve with gladness.
Wow. Ro-ro. Think about that for just a second. It is not enough to just serve.
He says to serve with gladness. I know,
but I feel like I ought to be. I've got tons of things to be doing, and I know that I said I would do this. So I'm doing it, and God, isn't that enough that I'm doing it?
No, it's not. He says to serve with gladness. I heard a story a while ago, I don't know if y'all remember this or not. It's been about 10 years ago. A missionary couple, Martin and Gracia Burnham, in the Philippines, were captured by some Islamic extremists, and they were held in the jungle for a long period of time. I can't remember exactly how long they were held. Anybody remember Martin and Gracia Burnham? One of the stories that Gracia tells, because Gracia made it out alive, Martin did not, but she remembers being chained to a tree with Martin, and they were both, at least Gracia was just weeping. They had been there a long time, there was really no hope of ever being rescued. And she said, Martin, what are you doing? And he said, I'm just being reminded, he said, the Holy Spirit is reminding me even now, you know what? You know, the one thing, I can't do a whole lot. I'm chained to the tree. But what I can do is I can serve with gladness. Chained to a tree. So wait a minute. There's got to be something going on if a servant of the Lord can be chained to a tree. The Apostle Paul says the same thing. Because he writes Philippians about joy chained to a wall in a Roman jail. So there's got to be something other than the plastic smile and just sincerely being down. There's got to be something other than that. Because God tells us to serve him with gladness. There's a third command. I love this command because this is the Lord. And you know what the Lord says here? Come. Come. Man, when the Lord says to us, come, that's good. That's good. My dad, I'm going to Chesapeake in the morning. And I talked to my dad yesterday. And my dad said to me, I'm looking forward to you coming. And I can't wait to get there. It's our Heavenly Father. And you know what he says? says, come. Come before him, not just come, but come with joyful singing. Hey, Jed, come with joyful singing, with a song in your heart, and joy coming right out of you. Come with a song. Come. So he tells us to shout and to serve and to come with joyful gladness singing. And then he says in verse 3. Now watch what happens here for just a minute. In verses 1 and 2, we get three phrases of instruction, commands with some adjectives to describe how we are to fulfill those commands. And then in verse 4, we get a description. We get a statement of fact. He has left off the instruction, and now he just says, no. So this is not instruction anymore. This is now, he is giving us information that when we shout and serve and come, we need to keep some things in our mind. Now, wait a minute, that's important. What's happening here? God, how is it that I'm going to shout joyfully? God, how is it that I'm going to serve with gladness? God, how is it that I'm going to come with joyful singing? Okay, the Holy Spirit says, well, you need to know something. There is some knowledge that you need to have. This is truth, by the way. What we're about to read in verse 4 is not something to do. It's truth to know. You've got to know this. And you have to think about this. We have to allow our minds to be shaped by the truth of Scripture, right? And so what we need to know is that the Lord is God. That the Lord that we are shouting to and that we are serving and that we are coming before, He is God. And He rules the universe. That word there, that He is God, it's Yahweh Elohim, meaning that He is the supreme ruler. He's not just our Lord, but He is the God of the universe. That's significant. That means He's in charge. That means He's sovereign. He's God. Now watch this. Know not just that He is God, but know this. Know that He made us. And not we ourselves. Now I want you to understand something that's happening here. The context of this passage, as we shout and as we serve and as we come, the idea there is not just creation. It is that God created us, but the idea there is not just that He created, He formed us out of dust, but that He made us who we are. That somebody who shouts to the Lord and somebody who serves the Lord and somebody who comes before the God of the universe, God is the one who made us able to do that. He is the one who made us His servants. We know, as New Testament believers, we know that God did that through the work of Christ on the cross and an empty grave. God saved us. It goes like this. To those who believe on His name, He gave the right to become children of God. God made us. You guys know, think about this with me for just a second. There are no self-made Christians. There are no self-made Christians. So what we get in verse 3 is we get these three phrases that describe who God is and what our relationship with Him is. He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. And then watch this. This is Praise God. We are His people. It's not just that He is the God of the universe. It's not just that He made us servants, but it is that He has ownership over us. That word, His people, that's possessive. He has ownership. The battery in my little thing here died. And so that's what's happening here. But He owns us. He has possession over us. Think about that for just a second. What does it mean that you own your house? Now, maybe some of y'all rent. That's fine. But you understand the concept that I'm getting at. What does it mean that you own a house? You know what that means? You are responsible for it. And if your basement leaks, who's going to fix it? I am, because I own it. It's mine. And so God has possession over us. And then watch this. The Holy Spirit knows that we need this. It's not just possession, but I want you, in God's mind, look at what this means. It means that we are the sheep of His pasture. That His possession over us means that He cares for us. That He takes responsibility for our provision. The shepherd is completely responsible for making sure that the sheep have what they need. So He takes ownership. He takes responsibility. And that's the relationship that we have with God. Not because we deserve it, but because of Christ. And because we simply trust Him. Right? We didn't do anything for it. Because we simply trust what Christ has done for us that we could not do for ourselves. It is He who has made us this way. But it is true. This just is true. And so as we shall joyfully, as we serve gladly, as we come before Him, with joyful singing, what He says that you need to have in your mind as we consider these things is we need to know who He is, and we need to know what our relationship with Him is. The Holy Spirit is very clear to clarify those things.
And so, okay, wait a minute.
Either you put on the plastic smile, or you be sincere, and look, just be real. Just be sincere. And if you're down in the dumps, then act like you're down in the dumps. Don't put the plastic smile, because it's only those two things, right? Because the only thing that you have to consider are your circumstances, right? No!
In fact, verse 3 says, know this. And you know what He doesn't mention one thing about?
Your circumstances and my circumstances. He says what you need to know when you consider Thanksgiving. What you need to consider is who God is and what our relationship is with Him. Do y'all see that?
Verse 4. Now let me tell you what's about to happen in verse 4. Look back 1, 2, and 3. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 phrases in verses 1, 2, and 3. Look in verses 4 and 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 phrases in verses 4 and 5. You know what He's going to do? He is going to repeat it.
He's going to tell us the same thing from a slightly different angle. He's going to add in some new information. He's going to add in some new instruction. He's going to add in some new things that the Holy Spirit wants us to consider here and to know. But He's going to do it in such a way that He's really repeating Himself. Watch.
Verse 4, what do we get? We get three phrases of command. We get three phrases of instruction, just like in verses 1 and 2. Look at verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Now, let me point something out to you. I love this. Verse 2, the last command in verse 2 is what?
come. Now look at verse 4. Remember, I told you that he's repeating himself. Well, he picks up where he left off, and he's going to, watch this. What do you know about gates? Where are the gates of a temple? They're out there. Where are the courts of a temple? They're inside the gates. Where do you speak directly to a sovereign? And his courts with praise, give thanks to him, bless his name. What he is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing, is the Holy Spirit is inviting you to draw closer. He starts at the gates, and he moves to the courts, and then he invites you to speak directly to the God of the universe. He's inviting you to draw closer. And he says, you enter with thanksgiving. Why? Oh, man, why? And he says, you come into his courts with praise. Well, he's already given us the why. He's already told us who he is and what our relationship is with him. And he says, give thanks to him. Bless his name. If verse 3 were not enough, he comes in verse 5 and we get three final phrases. And in verse 3, we get a statement of who God is and a description of our relationship with him in those three phrases, right? Now in verse 5, three phrases again, nothing about us now, only about God's character. We get three phrases that are describing God's character. And that's important. What if we just left off at verse 3 and it says, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Meaning he's the God of the universe. He made us. He owns us. And he's the one that's responsible to care for us. Now that's good. If he is good, but if you've got Count Dracula who owns you and is responsible to care for you, that might not be a good thing, right? So we need to know. We need, as we consider, we need to know a little bit about this God who is the God of the universe and who made us and who owns us and who's responsible for our care. But watch what he says. Look at this. For the Lord is good. The Lord is good. He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Do you believe that? Wait a minute. Do you really believe that? Are you sure? Because there's a temptation to think that God's loving kindness stops when the doctor says cancer. It's a temptation to think that God's loving kindness stops when there's a car accident. There's a temptation to think that God's loving kindness stops when my circumstances aren't pleasant. But see, that's not what it says. It says that God's loving kindness is everlasting, never ends. He is the Do you believe that? and his faithfulness to all generations. You know, I don't know, seemed like the Lord was just more at work in my granddaddy's life. I don't know. It just seemed like, man, I don't know what has happened to the world nowadays, but it just seemed like the Lord was more powerful than my granddaddy was. The Lord was at work 50 years ago. I don't know what's happened today, but everything's gone to pot. No, his faithfulness extends to all generations. Do you know what? God is just as much at work now as he was in my granddaddy's life. God is just at work now in this generation as he was 200 years ago. He was, because it says he was. God's faithfulness extends to all. Now, are there things that are happening that we grieve? Man, and Pastor Dennis prayed, right? There are things around us that we are grieved over. Absolutely. But nothing of God has changed. Nothing of God has changed. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It's he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He's responsible for us. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His love and kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations.
So he and his wife, they go online and they do all their research. And I mean, they're looking at the specific type of cancer that he has. And they're doing all their reading about it. And then they turn from the type of cancer, then they turn to doctors. And they're doing their research on doctors that have done kind of this, that have done work on this specific kind of cancer. And there are some doctors that have done a few things, but there's one doctor in particular at Johns Hopkins. This particular doctor has spent his whole career researching and treating this one particular type of cancer. And in fact, what has happened is within the medical community, all the other doctors that treat this kind of cancer are following his guidelines on treatment because this man knows this cancer. He has the best recovery by far, statistically, of people that see him versus people that see other doctors. And so it's a long shot. They call his office to see if maybe by some chance this doctor at Johns Hopkins will take his case. They get on the phone and they get his office manager. They describe a little bit about his case. Gentleman on the other end of the line says, well, I can tell you he's an extremely busy doctor. He's got a lot of cases that he's working on now, but I'll take your case and I mean we'll talk about it and we'll see, but I can't make any promises. Well, a week goes by. And about day 9, the phone rings at this couple's shouting, singing with gladness, thanksgiving. Why? Because the man has cancer? No. Why? Because it's all going to be a walk in the park from now on? No. Why? Because he doesn't have extremely difficult treatments ahead of him? No. Why? Because there's not going to be any pain involved? No. Why in the world is there thankfulness and gladness and joyful singing in that house?
Because of who his doctor is.
See what Psalm 100 is telling us. Is that when we think about thanksgiving, that it's not just the plastic smile or the sincere down in the dumps. Those are not the only two options, because both of those options are looking at nothing but our circumstances. And Psalm 100 tells us to know not our circumstances, but who our God is. And when we turn our focus off of what's going on around here, and when we turn our focus to say, He is the Lord, and it is Him who has made me, and in fact, not just created me, but made me who I am, and put me where I am, and brought these circumstances into my life for His purposes, and the life that I am living in, the circumstances that I am in, He has crafted, because He is the Lord, and I am the sheep of His pasture, and it is Him who has led me. Then I can enter His gates with thanksgiving. Why? Because it's all hunky-dory, and it's going to be a walk in the park? No. No. Because of who my God is, and what He has done, and because He is good, and because His loving kindness never ends, and His faithfulness endures to all generations. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Father, God, I praise You for this psalm. God, I praise You that Your Holy Spirit has written this down. How would we know this if You had not written it down for us? God, we wouldn't. God, we do not deserve to know You like this at all. But God, You loved us. And God, You sent Your Son Jesus, who died and rose again. And You invite all those who trust in You to become Your children. God, You have made us Your own. God, I pray that You would redirect our eyes, point us to Yourself. Oh, Father, You have made us glad. And Father, if we are going to be glad, it will be because You have made us that way. And God, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and sing. You know, we a lot of times we call this